Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, and good afternoon, Jen.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I have a bunch of announcements here to start us off.
Okay, good.
Recording and listening is a simple and powerful tool that assists us in accessing the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature and live the life we want. Our five-week class, which begins March 13th, includes recording and listening exercises and time in class to process your experience. Join Sangha for another year of deepening practice in our 2024 year-long retreat, The Way of Dharma, beginning next month. In the usual format of daily practice, weekly assignments, and weekday conversations with the guide and Sangha, we will be focusing on the Dhammapada, a collection of teachings supposedly gathered by the disciples of the Buddha. The retreat begins March 15th, and a quarterly payment plan is available. And
yeah,
Jen, I think that would be this month, not next month.
I was just going to say, Michael, I think it's actually right around the corner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes, so indeed. That would
yeah.
be in 10 days if I'm doing my math correctly there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that really is. That's fun. You know, as we always talk about, not having the morning show has so many interesting elements to it in terms of stewarding one's own practice and not taking things for granted and all of that, you know. And
yeah.
it's so
yeah.
fun that it's right around the corner that we're starting fresh again. I'm so excited.
yes. Yeah, that's an excellent point, Jen. You know, when it's every day, I can easily take it for granted. And when it's not here, it's not here. And it makes a difference.
It does make a difference. And it just, yeah, well, anyway, we have a radio show to have, so we'll start talking about that. But all that to say, yes, very excited that it's coming up again.
Yes, indeed. Our Reflective Listening Buddies program offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program begins April 15th.
Great.
And do you find... Sorry, say that again, Jen.
I was just saying, great. Here we are with another quarter of all these things as well. I didn't realize we were that close to that as well. No wonder we have so many
announcements. Yes, indeed. And do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? The Keeping Commitments Buddy Program, also beginning April 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support during this compassionate training. Sangha is once again invited to our spiritual home at 4 Acres Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington. This year's Summer of Sangha includes week-long and weekend retreats from June 14 to August 18. A full schedule of yoga, meditation, guidance, workshops, groups, and self-guided practice will be offered. Registration is limited, so sign up soon. And as was recently announced, it will be possible to accept precepts with this practice during the Summer of Sangha. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Jen, please press *6 and then 1. And conversation on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Jen, I think we're ready to roll here.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jen. It's Kim calling from Vashon.
Hey, Kim.
Hey. Feeling exhilarated from being unmuted.
Unmuted, exactly. It's better than a cup of coffee. You are now unmuted.
Yeah. Well, I've just had the most extraordinary time this past, hey, it's been like a week, you know, with the last bit of the email class. Mm. And suddenly, I don't know, the only way I can describe it is when I learned how to read when I was six or a little kid, and the first sentence that I ever really understood, it was this full body experience. I still remember the sentence. And like this week was that kind of thing with awareness practice.
Kim, that's a beautiful description. I don't know about other people, but I went right there. I can remember seeing the word refrigerator and starting to put it together, just getting to the end of that word and feeling like, whoa, I know what that is.
Yeah, and it's a full body, it's a body thing. Like, it's a grokking, you know? I mean, that's such a good word that, you know, is an old word. But and the other thing that has opened up for me this week is sort of the whole concept of the koan practice. Like, I mean, you know, all of this, I've been with the Sangha for 20 years, more than that, 22 years. And this is sort of like, and I hear people talk about it, and I hear people talk about the experience I'm talking about too, of like, you know, and I kind of was like, yeah. But man, it's been like the last guided imagery that Sherry did, it was just the first time I really experienced kind of the koan of just like being stunned and not being able to have the mind really wrap around it at all.
Right. And what a gift that is.
Yeah.
The mind not being able to wrap around it at all. Because when we say something like that, you know, God, I don't know. I mean, I just can't wrap my mind around it. You know, sort of as we're going around in the world, that's meant to mean that's really too hard to understand, or that's above me, or that's. But what you're describing, I project, is this: the mind is blown, essentially.
Yeah.
And truly that place of having a direct experience.
Yeah. And just like walking around with my mouth kind of half open, just kind of like, just agog and so good. And then, just things, just so many insights coming in. Like that it's like I sort of picture it as an hourglass with sugar pouring into it. And like, you know, insights are happening, and I'm catching some of them, but I'm not catching all of them. But they're in a container, so I can turn that over again, that hourglass, and let them slip through again, you know. But man, it's just been amazing. And I think the koan that I'm looking at now, because it's what it is the process of fear. Yeah, so from all of this month, I mean, it's a process that revisits and there's so much ego efforting to try to make it, to change it, to stop it, and I just decided, well, it can just be the next koan.
And when you say to change it, to stop it, you're talking about the experience of fear.
Yeah, just to
try
stop.
To change that experience.
You know, and not even accept is the wrong word, you know, but just to hold it and I mean, I don't know if that's, I know that fear is, you know, intellectually fear is ego, you know, and yet it comes up and comes up and comes up, just like, you know, another one of these insights I had this week was, there's a voice in my head that always tells me I'm ugly. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's a voice telling me I'm ugly. I don't have to listen to that. That's what they're talking about. That's self-hate. I'm like, again,
weird.
It's sort of like, you know, the carpet is beige moment over and over. But like, it's the felt sense.
Exactly. As you were saying that, you know, that image of the insights dropping in and the hourglass, and just finding ourselves in places of, like, I project it to that place where, you know, an insight drops in and you pick up the recorder and you record it and you say something like, you know what, I mean, it's almost like the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention. And then you realize, oh, wait, that's what Sherry says every single day.
Right, exactly.
But you're having the experience.
Yeah.
So suddenly you really hear it. The voice is saying to you, you're ugly. Oh, my God, that's a voice talking to me, which
and
is a whole different thing than the idea.
It's so mean, and it's just so mean. And I'm like, nobody who really loves me or cares about me or even likes me would ever say that to me. And I'm just like, so the lights are just turning on like crazy. And so it's just been, and you know, I think I was saying this on the call, but on Sunday, but everything has changed. Like, everything seems different. And so it's just, you know, I'm just enjoying it so much.
Good. Good. That's it. Yep. Just enjoying it while it's here. Absolutely. Enjoying the stew out of it. And let me ask you one clarifying question. Are you saying that during this time, fear is cycling in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, there's always, fear is always there, you know, and fear with every one of the topics of the email class, there was always this kind of, patina of fear. There's always fear wrapped around, you know, I had to go to the doctor the other day and there was just so much fear and I just, but there's the koan paradigm is kind of helping me to just like, okay, there it is again. There's fear. I don't have to do anything about it. Yep. I can just hold it like the koan. Just, I know it's ego and you know, and it's going to transform. I can't force it, you know, but I see it. I'm going to sit with it and just notice it and then notice it. And, you know, it comes in waves and it makes up a lot of terrifying stories about, you know, what it thinks it's going to happen and the future and, you know, and whatever death is and pain and, you know, all of it. And so it's just kind of, I'm ready to watch it now instead of have it back me in a corner. You know, I've read the fear book many times, you know, and listened to it. And but, you know, it's another thing that's kind of, it's the next thing, I guess, the next thing.
Yeah. And, you know, that phrase you used a minute ago, you know, it creates these stories about, that's so crucial, isn't it? Because that's the only way fear can maintain itself. Is in a story, talking to us about something. So it really is the next layer, the now layer of learning to direct attention, right?
Yeah.
The experience you had, the way you describe it, is a profound experience of all of the attention being right here in this moment, and not referencing the mind, not referencing me and mine, you know, what's going on with me, but you're just right here, and that changes the experience of everything. And so then, you know, the fear cycles through in the form of all these stories and talking to you about this and talking to you about that. And so that seems very, very wise to just hold it lightly and realize, okay, that's just attempting to get my attention. And so there's that place of, I know it will transform in the same way everything else is transformed. To try to do something about it, you now know from your own experience, is just the next layer of getting involved with it. So you're just letting it be there and you're watching it.
Yeah, and I don't want it, like, there are times when it takes over, you know, I feel it taking over. And I can... use our toolbox, you know, use our mantras or use recordings, reassurances, or, you know, there's a lot of tools to kind of just, you know, not let it terrify me, you know, and then just, I guess, just have the trust in practice, in the process, in the, you know, the cooking process.
Yes, exactly. The cooking process is all unfolding. And, you know, the other thing that I think is so helpful about what you described, Kim, I don't know if this is your experience, but in my experience in places like you're describing, it's so obvious to me in this place that everything that's come before has also been profoundly okay and all part of the process. even the parts that when I was in it, it felt like, God, I've been practicing this long, and why can't I, why can't I see? And, you know, they're saying that, but I'm not having that. You know, all those things that have come before have all been part of it. And every single piece of it has been profoundly okay, which gives us that trust and faith that whatever comes through now is also completely okay and part of it.
Yeah, yes, yes. And sometimes I think it was just, I don't know, there was this like, that it was just luck almost. Like, I don't, you know, yeah. It's not yeah. luck, but you know what I mean? It's kind of like,
I do. Yes.
It just strikes you kind of randomly. There was no, you know, there was no lead up. There was no, you know, music or anything. You know what I'm saying? There's no, it just kind of just suddenly, like all of a sudden it was just, and not all of a sudden, because as you say, everything, I mean, I've been practicing for 22 years, you know, or, you know, ramping it up. It's really ramped up these last few years with the, you know, thank God that the year-long is starting. I think that that's really made a difference for me.
Mm, yeah, keeps the intensity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The support for us versus the, I mean, so much in our lives supports ego. But to have that support for the heart and for waking up, yeah, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, to everything you're saying. And that, to me, again, that's why it can feel like when we do have, you know, when we wake up in the way you're describing, that there's also a sense of, I guess to me, that's why the work of going beyond self-hatred is so profound, because there's this sense of, if I'm unwilling to have a relationship with self-hate, if I get it, that it's all okay, then it will happen when it happens. You know, we'll see through it when we see through it. We awaken when we awaken. And in the meantime, what a beautiful gift to me, and I project to all of life. I don't know that, but sure seems that way to me in my own experience, and certainly when I'm around other people who are going through their lives like this, to not have a whole lot invested in, am I going to, you know, completely see through all of it? Am I going to completely wake up? I don't know. I don't even know what that is necessarily.
Yeah.
But to be willing be here and to keep practicing and knowing that I'll see what I see when I see it and that that's perfect, that's a huge gift.
Yeah, yeah, yes. And I guess having had this experience, I feel like, I mean, I'm practicing to hopefully have more. And as you say, it'll happen if it happens. When it happens, it'll be perfect in the perfect timing. And but whatever I can do to facilitate it, I want to.
Yes.
Not
I want to be
that,
here.
You know, I want to be here. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Kim. Yeah. Thanks for talking to us about that. It's very fun.
Well, thank you. Again, this is another part of, you know, touching in with Sangha and our practice. That's, you know,
exactly.
That
exactly.
I'm grateful for. Yeah.
Me too. Me too. Go happy.
Go happy. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Kim. And Jen, it's time for our good news update. So let me bring our guest on here. And Jen, I'll turn it over to you for a good news update.
Excellent. And I'm pleased to be joined by Jill, who is here to speak with us about the most recent history post. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
Hey.
So relatively new to the newsletter lineup is the history postcard that goes out periodically, about once a month, a little less than that, that highlights a piece of our Sangha history. And you're here to speak with us about your experience of reading the most recent one.
Yes, I, well, first of all, every one of them has just really been just beautiful. Each one touches me and brings up different things. But this one in particular, I mean, I was, you know, when I knew I was coming on, I had thought to talk about it, and then I was invited to talk about it. And so we
it's like, oh, this must be the topic then.
But this most recent one, I mean, it recounts the Sangha experience of having a Sangha member who was diagnosed with cancer, and it was immediately apparent it was terminal, and how the whole Sangha went through her, the dying process with her, that she, that she wanted to practice through it, this woman Sylvia, and the way the Sangha supported that, and just the, I mean, there's so many things that struck me about it, but just the, how her death was such a gift, and how practice was such a gift, and the coming together of those two gifts, it just was an extraordinary narrative about that experience.
Yeah. I mean, truly. So this was back in the late 80s. And I mean, yes, there's so much to it, Jill, isn't there? And the fact that it literally, I can really say this, presented itself back to us as we're finishing the email class on age, sickness, death, you know, and death. And there it was, this profound experience of a woman in the Sangha, when our Sangha was quite, you know, quite young, hadn't been around too many years. It was in the days when there was just the Mountain View Zen Center, and that center wasn't too terribly old. And as you say, a woman was diagnosed with cancer, and that there was, so this postcard talking about it, and then I don't know if you had a chance to read through, there was an entire newsletter at that time. They had a newsletter published twice a year, where the entire thing was various folks in Sangha writing about the experience of going through her death with her, and what a gift she gave to them in being with and inviting them into that process of her dying.
Yeah, and the parts that various Sangha wrote about their experience with it were varied, and I mean it seemed to just it just touched everyone, and how they were working with losing someone who obviously was, you know, extremely important to them and loved. And I mean, it just was, and I'm just struck too while we're talking about this, is that, you know, that gift is being given to me now, you know, and it just keeps giving. It keeps giving. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yes, that we, you know, those of us who came to Sangha long after Sylvia had died are receiving the gift of that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, when I first read it, there were a lot of tears, and I can, obviously it's happening now, but I mean, the line, like, it's all been wonderful. Like, I've just been practicing with that today, and sitting here waiting for the call to start, and it just kept coming up over and over again, just about today. You know, it's all been wonderful.
Good. That those were her last words, her last bond, her last words before she died, with Sangha surrounding her. They sat with her through her death, her last words being, it's been nothing but wonderful. And her last voluntary movement apparently was Gesho.
What a
beautiful thing to be practicing with that. It's been nothing wonderful. It's all wonderful.
And it's, you know, it's a class too. It's I mean, it's like, it seems like a lot in practice. It's like death, you know, we have to hold it in a place where we know it's there, but we don't focus on it. It's not a cause of suffering. But to have it in a place where it informs us, you know, in that way. And so, I don't know, I can feel that this whole postcard and the story just kind of like feeding into that information of, fed into today, right? It's been nothing but wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, wonderful.
Yeah. And that there were a number of people in that newsletter who wrote about how Sylvia said, don't wait until something like that happens to do your practice.
Yeah, that was another.
You know, really do it.
Thing.
Another one that stood out to me that I think was highlighted in the postcard was someone was saying, I miss you, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were but another person saying, I don't like this outcome. It's not what I want.
Yeah.
You know, that what Sylvia modeled for them, apparently the last time this person had seen Sylvia, saying to her, I don't know if I'll ever see you again. And Sylvia's response being smiling and saying, that's all right.
Yeah.
All right. And what a comfort that was to the person who, you know, was still here and living.
Mm-hmm.
That Sylvia's response had been, it's all right.
Yeah. So much. There's so much in all of that. And just the variety of people's different experiences with it and how they were able to articulate, you know, what was going on for them with it.
Yeah.
And that was also another line that just really stayed with me that, you know, even when she's, you know, in the process of passing, that she can offer that to somebody, you know, that comfort is just so powerful. I mean, so powerful.
Yeah.
What's possible? You know, what is possible?
Yeah.
Really incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And that beautiful challenge that you're describing of, can we begin that process now? Can this day be from that attitude of mind?
Mm-hmm.
It's all one. Even when we're not faced, you know, what it really is what we looked at in the class. We get it intellectually that it could be any moment. The end could be right now. But we don't often live that way. And so having that modeled of living each moment fully, fully alive and being ready when it's time to transition, when that moment of death is there.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, because ego would look at today and say, you know what, Jill, it really wasn't all wonderful. But I can honestly, with every cell and bone in my body, know and believe that it was wonderful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Incredible. Just absolutely incredible. So that, I mean, and what a gift that perspective is that, exactly. As hard as I've tried, I cannot hold on to what I'm experiencing, you know, so I'm also.
Oh, yeah. Amen. And amen for that. Right. That's so perfect, isn't it? Because when it's time to go, as far as we know, we won't be holding on to anything. that experience of, I mean, it's very much what Kim was just describing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That hourglass of like all of it just going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that movement, try to hang on to it, to try to do something, but just that letting it flow through is so, I mean, that really is what it feels like is modeled for us in a situation like that, to just, this is it. You know, I mean, Sylvia went from finding that lump under her arm to her last breath in quite a bit less than a year.
Mm.
You know,
there
it is.
I mean, it's you know, practicing like your hair is on fire. It's this thing like of that now might be the only time. Now is the only time, actually.
Yeah, now that's what we keep hearing. That's what we keep hearing. Rumor has it, now is the only.
Now is the only unit of time that is actually real. So, it's just been. I'm happy. I mean, I was all smiles anyway, just listening to the first call, and that really talk about getting lit up, and then just being able to. It's been nothing but wonderful. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jill. Thanks for being with us today to talk about it.
Gotcha.
Sasha. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jill. And thank you, Jen. And let's see, I cannot mute Jill here. Jill, if you could mute yourself, please, or call back in, that'd be great. And Jen, I had a very similar experience to that email coming out and the in-process newsletter. Just words failed me. I mean, it was extraordinary. It was extraordinary to me, and the, you know, many tissues and many Kleenex, and just the clarity of the practice and the immediacy of it all. Just fabulous.
And, you know, Michael, it's just, I got goosebumps when Jill started talking about it, when you're talking about it. You know, just a really a deep bow to all that has come, I mean, really. That's one of those, I was going to say, all the sangha that has come before us. And that just reminds me of that Einstein thing. If you're going to make an apple pie from scratch, you got to create the universe. Because I just kept realizing, I mean, I don't even know where you would start with the gratitude, right, where it began. Because it's less. But so if we were just to make it terribly concrete right now, you know, thank you to all of those sangha who created that Mountain View Zen Center and who sat there with a fellow sangha who was going through that process, the person who generously shared her process of dying with sangha and chose to have every moment be dedicated to practice as she did that, to the people who wrote it, to who kept that newsletter to the tub of practice materials that's in, to the guide who has guided all of that process and created a sangha. I mean, it really is extraordinary, all of it.
Yes, and I realized just as you started talking that the reason it hits so directly is it's the same practice.
Right, yes.
The same practice, the same process, the same language, the same concepts. It just went straight to the heart.
Yeah, it's so lovely to hear you say that, Michael, because I think that's the thing that's so extraordinary about the history materials is that exact thing that, oh my goodness. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise, but it's just so moving that it's been the very same exact, I don't know, truth with a capital T from the very start. And that just underscores how it must be what we are. It has to be that unchanging, you know, changeless nature of all that is, because it's so profoundly what it is.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Wow. And we have more callers here, Jen.
All right, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara from Chicago.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. Wow, I was just wowing along with you. I really just wanted to put myself in the queue and practice and turn my attention to practice and kind of make that declaration.
Good for you. That's really the whole thing right there, isn't it? That process.
It is. I've been seeing how much of my attention, how much I know about ego, and how much I kind of habitually turn to look more in that direction, and how I continue to have a lot of the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm not, I don't want to say this as a way to, like, be in self-hate, but I feel like I'm not practicing enough, or, if there's some way that I feel like I'm making a confession of self-hate or something, but it's not that. It's really that I see it and I want to practice.
Yeah. Well, what I hear you the declaration I hear you making is very, very profound, Barbara. What I hear and what you're saying is that it's really important that we see what ego is, we see what it's doing to us, we get that on a really deep level. That's very, very important. And it's also crucially important that we begin to build the ability to turn attention to what we know is actually who we are, the experience that we want to have, the experience of what we actually are.
Yeah. And all, you know, looking at death, it just feels like, you know, I want to live. I mean, this is life. I you know,
yeah.
Like, this is it. This is it. Do I, you know, what do I want to be attending to?
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah.
mean.
Exactly.
And I, even just saying it, I feel this fear that, you know, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I just, it's like, I'm so clear about how ego comes in at every minute to.
Yeah. Well, and I project that exact thing, what you just said, is a microcosm of the whole thing.
Yes.
So you have this really big realization. And from that insight, you get on the radio show and you put yourself in the queue and you start talking about it. You and I are having this conversation. As we're having this conversation, we're doing that. We're turning our attention to what we actually are. We're living in that place. That's very, very threatening to ego. And so what does it do? It starts talking to you. Well, I mean, what if you never, oh my God, Barbara, what if you never do that? What if you can't find a way to do that? What if you don't have that in you?
Yeah.
What if you're, you know, and if you're like the rest of us, it's going to tick off all, you know, you're too lazy or you don't know how, you're not like other people, you don't have it in you, right?
Yeah, all of those things. I mean, all of those messages, it's mind-boggling, really, you know, that the amount of different voices it has of, you know, in different ways it comes in.
Yep.
And how much that has, like, taken over my life. And I just, I want to do something differently.
Yeah. And you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hope that you'll, when this archive comes out, I hope that you'll put this on your list to regularly listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is my experience, Barbara. It's literally the process of breaking an addiction. You know, so Sherry talks about that, the image of the alcoholic sitting with the bottle on the table. You know, that high noon place of like, all right, I'm facing it down. And that's what it takes moment by moment. So you and I are having this conversation. We're living from what we actually are. In comes the voice. Oh, my God, but what if you never? And the voice, not only does it not care, not only is it not afraid, oh, my God, you might never, but the only reason it's saying that to you is so that you won't. It's completely gunning for you not doing that.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is another crucial place to get. Because then it really does become the worthy opponent. It becomes, I think it's in there, is nothing wrong with you. You know, I set out to run, to be a runner, and this, quote, coach, all it's doing is like, you're going to wear that? I mean, you can only run that far? I mean, I'm firing that coach, not doing that.
Yeah.
And that's moment by moment. In it comes, and then we just turn our attention to anything. It could truly be anything. But we're just breaking that circuit.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten that guidance over and over again, and I, to be honest, I often don't do it. I just, you know, I just happened to be kind of randomly listening to an old open air that I was on, and I was talking about the same thing, but I was, you know, it was just like so. And I know what to do. I just, you know, and even the guidance in that conversation was to listen to that again. I never listened to it again until today.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's.
And you listened to it today?
I did listen to it today.
Yeah. See, and that's it. I mean,
yeah.
You don't do it a million times. Yeah. I mean, we're going to do the show. Of the people across the globe that are listening to this right now, and everyone who's listening to this archive into perpetuity, we're all raising our hands. And the thing is, we don't follow the guidance until we do.
Yeah.
And then we do.
Yeah.
And it's just like Kim was talking about. You know, it's not because I was a bad person and now I'm a good person, or, you know, I was bad and now I'm good. It has nothing to do with that. It's just once we're ready, we're ready.
Yeah.
And you're getting, from what you're describing, you're getting more and more ready.
Yeah, I mean, it has an urgency about it, but not in a, you know, scared
in a,
bad
yeah.
way. I mean, it's like,
but
if not
a,
now,
it.
When, you know, this is,
exactly.
this is it. This is it.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, maybe the really fun, like, maverick way to practice with it now is every time you don't do it, you just move right on.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you do it, huge celebration. We did it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I listened mm-hmm. back to that archive. I actually
mm-hmm.
listened back to that archive.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, team.
Yeah. To put, yes. Yeah,
and every time it happens, it's like it never happened. Do you know the one, we were just talking about this again recently here. Have you ever heard Sherry tell the one about the woman who goes to a fancy party with spinach in her teeth and doesn't realize it till later that night?
No. I don't know.
It's such a good
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Fancy party. You can picture it, right? Fancy party. She's talking
yeah.
to people all night long, smiling, the whole thing. She goes back home at night. She's getting ready, you know, looks in the mirror, big smile, and sees this huge piece of spinach in her teeth. And she just takes the spinach out, and she says, it never happened. And never gives it another thought.
Yeah.
So that's the one. That's uh-huh. where we are now.
Uh-huh.
Is, yeah, of course it talks us out of it a million times, but so what? Uh-huh. We don't give that any attention at all.
Right. And that has been where the attention would go. And then when there would be a good experience or I would turn to practice, I would forget that. But I just have to do the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Do the opposite. Do the
yeah.
absolute opposite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, celebrate the stew out of every time you do it. And
yeah.
don't even give it a second thought. When you don't.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm here.
Thank
for
you.
It.
And report back, Barbara, because we are truly all in this together. Every single one of us is breaking our version of that addiction.
Yeah.
Together.
Reporting it again. That's another, you know, there's another opportunity, you know, just like
yeah,
there's
exactly.
so many.
And you reported back this
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huge celebration.
Yeah, yes. Great.
Yeah, as long as we keep showing up and stick together, it has no chance. We have every chance.
You know, I'm so unbelievably grateful that I have this community to show up to, you know. I mean, really, this is not just happening in practice. This is my life, you know, that's not being lived,
yeah.
you know. So
yeah.
that I have this place to practice being alive is
yeah.
like, oh my God, it's everything.
It's everything. It is absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you showing up on this show and putting yourself in the queue is part of what's creating that for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that encouragement.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks,
Barbara. Take good care.
Yes. Gosho.
Gosho. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And Jen, I loved every word of that conversation. And the sense I got was standing up on my hind legs and saying, no more, no
yeah.
more. This is a human being, precious
I
human
love
being.
It.
Yeah, that is one of the images that Sherry uses. That's my absolute favorite.
Yes.
Get up on your legs. This is my life. This is
yep.
my life. Yeah.
Extraordinary. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, it's Bree, San Francisco.
Hey,
Bree.
Hey. Well, first I want to say I made that shift over to the new format for donations. I donate monthly,
And, you know, I got the acknowledgement of the monthly donation, and it's so uplifting to me, Jen. I just felt, you know, it just really filled me. It makes me feel very connected to this whole Sangha, and I really feel like I'm actually helping people transform, which means, well, for whatever reason, much for me.
And sorry, what was that last part?
Just for whatever reason, it just really means a lot to me.
Oh,
to do
amen.
That.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Every reason. I mean, uh-huh. Because you can trust your feeling. You are assisting people to transform. I mean, everything uh-huh. we do with Sangha, you know,
right.
be a monthly call into the radio show, put yourself in the queue for the radio show, participate in email classes. I mean, truly, just like we were talking about in that last call, it's crucial, all of it. You know, it's for our own salvation and everyone around us.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, I know, there's just ways any of us individually can feel connected.
Yeah.
The other thing going on for me is I have been feeling hard to connect with. I'm just feeling off. Like I'm not really connecting in some way. You know, it kind of sounds funny after with what I just said, though that's very specific. But as far as feeling enthusiastic or really energized by much, and I kind of go waffle between, okay, that's what's happening. Of course, I want to try to understand, is it chemical? Is it this? Is it that? And I go back and forth between thinking, all right, that's just the cycle I'm in, to thinking, really, I need to get on this. I really should be doing something to shift this. And I want to talk about that idea.
And when you're in that, I really should do something about this and shift this, what's your experience of that like?
Well, I kind of hit a big blank space. Okay, do what? What did you do? And maybe I guess now that you ask me, it feels overwhelming to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because so often that doing is what ego comes in to take the reins, right? So you're noticing something.
Right.
And what do I do about that is so often the way ego comes in to get us in conversation. And then it feels overwhelming because, of course, embedded in that, what do I do about that, almost always is some underlying message of, and you won't be successful. And there's something wrong with it.
Would that not sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, and that there's something wrong with this, right? You shouldn't be feeling this way, so you need to change it.
I'm very aware of that part of it, but it does create this question or, in a sense, confusion, because then it throws me into the other side of just accepting or just kind of going along feeling ho-hum, not very enthusiastic or connected. But that something doesn't seem right about that either.
The feeling ho-hum and disconnected?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, almost like not feeling really here, present for your life.
Sure. And, you know, if I could say one more thing about that, because I was thinking that I, as a very young girl, I started disconnecting at 10, and it was very successful. I'm very familiar with that, very. And I've certainly changed a lot, but I certainly return to it. And I do, it does make me, okay, so what I was wondering, I was thinking tonight, wait a minute, should I just stop that story? You know, I mean, should I just leave that one at this point? I've been with it for decades and decades.
Leave the story of?
To go back to thinking, oh, well, this explains it. Because I've been doing it since 10 years old. So it kind of like says, oh, yeah, well, it's understandable, Bree. You've had this, whatever I want to call it, for since I was 10.
Got it. So yeah. It starts with a, gosh, I really feel disconnected and I'm not really, there's a conversation around that. And then it sounds like the next piece, if we were to process map it, the next piece is, well, I mean, what's wrong with you? Why can't you, you should be doing something about this. And then maybe the next sticky would be, well, you know, I mean, this has been happening since I was 10 years old. So, I mean, it makes sense that it would cycle around again. Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so how would you like it to be?
Well, of course I want to feel enthusiastic and like when I get up, like I'm looking forward to something. I mean, I'm functioning. I take care of things. Uh-huh. I'm doing things. I'm living, uh-huh. obviously. But there's something that just doesn't feel, there's that lack of spark I like to feel.
And what's that like when you wake up and there's spark and there's the enthusiasm?
Wonderful.
Tell me about
that. I mean, I look forward. There's something to, I'm looking forward to what is ahead of me that day, and I feel energized. And then I get into a whole thing about, well, it's chemical or, you know, my energy's low. Yeah. So it goes around and around. Now that I'm talking to you, it goes in all kinds of directions.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I wonder what it would be like just to play with in the next couple of days to just turn your attention to that enthusiasm, that sparkling.
Because okay, I like that.
Because when you started to describe it to me, I project you had to go there in order to describe it.
Yeah. I definitely felt it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's almost like the conversation we were just having with Barbara, that what we're so habituated to is, there's that enthusiasm. No, I really want that sparkle, that enthusiasm. I wake up in the morning and there's just, I'm ready for the day. And it's like, you know, the rest of us are sitting here but listening to you like, well, I think that might be it, Bree, right? It sounds like you're in that place when you're describing it. But so quickly the conversation will come back in and say like, but I mean, I'm not really feeling that way these days. And I don't know why. I mean, is it chemical or is it because of, right? I mean, and so, and then it drains the energy right back out.
Yeah, I think that's, just nailed it. Yes. Yep. Well. Okay, I am going to take you for your word.
And, you know, here's the other piece of it, Bree, just, to have your own experience and see what you see. But in my experience with an experiment like that, one key thing, one pitfall that ego will attempt is to check, as soon as you start doing that, you wake up in the morning, you turn your attention to enthusiasm, and like 15 seconds in, ego has you checking to see if it's working.
Yeah.
And the answer always going to be, no, it's not working. So my encouragement would be, recognize that it's going to try to do that and don't do that. Don't check. Just do it.
Oh.
Don't check to see how you
feel. I like it. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And this is definitely another report back situation. Love to hear.
I will. Thanks, Jen.
All right. So happy.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Bree. And Jen, I think we have time for at least one more caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen, this is Eleanor. Hey.
Hey.
This is just, I just really needed to get in the queue tonight. It was the right show for me to what y'all were just saying, stand up. It takes a lot of standing up against conditioning on Tuesday nights for some reason. I won't get it in my schedule. And then tonight I said, okay, just listen to the show. And that was the kicker. I couldn't make it. And it was that energy finally, I don't know, one step when you're ready, I guess. And it was like, oh no, just get in the queue and, just do it. And
Just go all the way. Let's take a whole life for life and not any of it to ego, shall we?
Okay. I don't know where to even go from here, except that it is a real celebration because I've had a lot of miserable Tuesday nights kind of not putting the show on my schedule. And then I'll listen to it. I always listen to it later. And I don't know what it was. There was so much in my life I wasn't able to do Tuesday nights, you know, or I was driving, and then now, you know, it's just such a pleasure to be able to gather like this, and to take that away from me is just not very nice.
It's not nice, and you know, it's such a concrete way of doing what we've been talking about all show. This is a theme, right? Of just standing up and saying, Yeah, I'm going to be here. This is Eleanor's life.
Exactly.
Right? You don't get to have a conversation about, ego doesn't get to be back there and debating whether or not I'm allowed to listen to the show. And maybe you can listen, but you can't put yourself in the queue. It's such a concrete way to say, yeah, this is it. This is my life, and I'm going to live it.
Yeah, it's just so great. The show is just perfect for that, you know. Somehow I got on the show, but I wasn't in the queue. And then all of a sudden, one step at a time, it was like, I'm on the show. You know, this is our show, all of our show. And I'm part of that. And so it's all amazing how perfectly it works out.
Yes, exactly. It's our show. And we create it together. I mean, as you know, we're fond of saying, I mean, I remember in the very, very early days of the radio show when Sherry and Michael would sit in Stanford, you know, at Stanford University. Mm-hmm. It would broadcast, you know, just locally right there. It was like more than 20 years ago. And that point of saying, you know, if people don't call in, we don't have a show. And so, you know, we all create the show together. Those, you know, hundreds of archives at this point are from people having the willingness to do what you're describing.
And yes. And I sure do appreciate all those archives. So thank you. I'm wordless again. but I'm just filled with gratitude that life is really taking care of me, and I forget sometimes, you know.
It's easy to forget because, as people have been describing all evening, those are so strong, and that obscures seeing. It's like Kim started us off with today, you know, so when we're here and we're awake, everything is different. We see everything with that clarity, and one of the things we see is how profoundly well taken care of we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely see that. And then one of the more recent callers was real meaningful in that it's just one step, you know, just every time that I turn and, you know, don't turn away from conditioning is a step doing that with no criticism for not doing that, but to do it and celebrate, and that's another step. So
that's it. Because I was really seeing that too, Eleanor, as you said, you know, how well life takes care of us, and that with practice, what we learn is such a fun way to say it, but it's what dropped in. We learn to collaborate with that. Instead of to collude with ego, we're collaborating with life to care for this, right? So life drops in the prompt to call into the show, and you follow that prompt. The voice comes in to say, no, you shouldn't, but you do it. And then there's the prompt to put yourself in the queue. Well, no, but and you do it, right? You collaborate.
Yep.
You don't collude with the voice.
And you know what that reminds me of? When we were doing the bead on loving kindness, and I had a profound experience of being the perfect person to do this, to collaborate with life, to take care of this life.
Exactly. In the practice of loving kindness.
Yeah, that was, yeah, exactly. So, okay. Yeah. I remember. Thank you. Thanks everything.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Eleanor.
Appreciate it.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Eleanor. And Jen, I am fully recharged and reinvigorated, and it's been a fabulous hour, and it just turned 9 o'clock where I am.
Yeah. Yep. It's late for you East Coasters, so yeah.
That's right.
Thank you all for stopping with us this evening, and for you every evening for being there for us, Michael.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jen, for being here tonight, and thank you to everyone. And go happy.
Go happy.